Wild Talk Radio presents to you the Monday Night Raw Post Show.
Oh, yes!
Featuring Sir Rockin.
Rest in peace.
Interact with us live and give us your thoughts on everything that happens on Monday Night Raw.
And that's the bottom line, because Stone Cold said so.
And if you're not down with that, we got two words for ya.
Because we believe in doing what is best for all of you.
Because after all, what's best for all of you is what's best for business.
Now step into the ring with us for the Raw Post Show.
This is Monday Night Raw!
Now get the guns, the drugs, from my generation. I'll take the fall, the saints, and across the nation. And it's a saint, the guns, the face, the fraud, the messer with me.
Hulk Hogan opened up the show with a microphone that sort of worked, welcoming us to Raw 30. Jimmy Hart was there, and how to get a pop from the crowd? You mentioned the Philadelphia Eagles running wild on you, brother. This is the Raw Post Show, presented as always by MBG Films, youtube.com/MBG1211. Raw is 30. I'm Sir Rockin. That's Lindsay Ward.
How that you held that in for, like, that long after this past weekend, you know, with the Cowboys winning, or the Cowboys losing and the Eagles winning.
I tried to talk about the Cowboys losing last night, and no one wanted to talk about it.
I mean, that's so terribly awkward whenever that happens, but I'm very proud of you for holding, you know, the Fly Eagles Fly moment in. And I know it was difficult for you, but yes, Raw is 30. We all feel old.
We all feel old. We'll get to what happened to start the show besides Hulk Hogan and Jimmy Hart here in a minute, but we need to talk about one of the bigger moments on the show, the passing of the torch, and it all started with LA Knight coming down to the ring. LA Knight talked about how Bray Wyatt returned with the Firefly Funhouse this past SmackDown on Friday. He was asked if he was supposed to be afraid of the grown man incel with the spooky music who plays with puppets. He knew there are legends backstage, and if any one of them wants to come out, he could give that person a preview of the Mountain Dew Pitch Black match this coming Saturday at the Royal Rumble. And no one showed up right away until you heard the legendary gong, and we saw the old way. They've shot the entrance, lights go down, everything goes up, and then the music stops because he, in fact, is an American badass. Out came The Undertaker on the motorcycle to Kid Rock's American Badass. LA Knight leaves the ring. Taker takes his sweet ass time to ride the bike down to the ring. It got caught on something.
A couple times.
He then talks about getting back in the ring, and well, you know, they could have this big legendary moment. But instead, he was going to give The Undertaker a pass. Knight said he was going to let The Undertaker live to see another day and encourage The Undertaker to watch the Pitch Black match this Saturday at the Royal Rumble. The lights go out. We hear the music of Bray Wyatt. Bray Wyatt walks slowly out from the back with lantern in hand. So now you have LA Knight caught between Bray Wyatt and The Undertaker. Knight then goes back into the ring to avoid Bray Wyatt. The Undertaker grabs LA Knight by the throat and he's ready to hook him up for a chokeslam, but instead, Bray Wyatt gets up on the apron and looks directly at The Undertaker. The Undertaker shoves LA Knight towards Bray Wyatt, who drops LA Knight with the Sister Abigail. The Undertaker and Bray Wyatt square off, look eye to eye, and then with the fans going, "Holy shit," The Undertaker walks towards Bray Wyatt, speaks into his ear, leaves the ring as the passing of the torch between the American Badass The Undertaker and Bray Wyatt happens on Monday Night Raw. I thought This was a really cool moment. I thought they did a hell of a job with it. I thought we got a really good passing of the torch. Lindsay?
A joygasm. I mean, I thought all those things and more. I don't think you guys really understand, and maybe some of you do. This is a moment I thought I would never, ever, ever get to see. Because Taker retired and Bray got fired. And
That rhymed, by the way.
That did rhyme, yeah. Taker retired, Bray got fired. We were all sad. But, like, no. Ever since Bray and Taker feuded years ago, starting with the WrestleMania match, and going on to the Survivor Series match where they basically had that summer where they flirted with each other and they did the matches together. And as good as it all was, it always kind of left you wanting, because like the whole WrestleMania build, Bray did pretty much the entire thing on his own. And then with the Survivor Series stuff, the most criminal thing about that to me was that Bray Wyatt and family kidnapped The Undertaker. What's so funny?
I just like that he kidnapped The Undertaker. It's funny.
It is, but he's the only person to really ever do that. To full up, just walk out, pick up The Undertaker, and leave with him like he was getting his Sunday groceries. And then he proceeded to do the same thing to Kane. And nobody was concerned. Nobody cared. Nobody, they just blew right over that moment. And to me, that's really, really criminal, because that was such a huge thing that could have turned into something, but that's neither here nor there. But that whole thing ended. Mm-hmm. And Bray and Taker never met again. And it was kind of like, God, just give me one more moment between them. Just one. Just give me one more before Taker goes. And then COVID happened. I was like, well, shit, now we're not going to get it. And then Taker made up his mind that he's like, I'm done. I'm going to retire. And then Bray got fired.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, well, hell, now this is never going to happen. So the fact that tonight we got The Undertaker and Bray Wyatt together, we got them working together, was an incredibly special moment for a lot of people, but including me, because it is the nod. It is the passing of the torch. It is, this is yours now. I want you to have it. Because I think it's very clear, Taker likes Bray quite a bit.
Always has. Always been a supporter.
And so the fact that he did this for Bray, with Bray, was a very, very, very cool thing on his part. Would I like to see more of it? Yes, absolutely. Will we get to see more of it? Absolutely not. But that's okay. I will take this and I will run with it, because Bray Wyatt has the Undertaker seal of approval. Ding. And I'll take this moment, because it was the most appropriate use of the Undertaker and Bray Wyatt with LA Knight that you could ever get. It was the perfect sort of like just exclamation point on everything, where you have Bray Wyatt come out and the Undertaker's like, oh, you want this? Okay. All right. Here. I don't want to do it. You go ahead. You go right on ahead. I'm not going to stop you. And it's a mutual respect thing between the two characters, especially with that sort of story past. That's very cool.
Mm-hmm.
Where it's Bray has come into his own. Taker is the old retired vet. And it's like, okay, all right, I see you. I acknowledge you. Bray got acknowledged, everybody.
Acknowledge
and we're going to do this.
Me.
Yeah, acknowledge me. But that was it. You know, and it was just, to me, it was just a very, very cool moment, because, like I said, I never thought we would ever see it. Never, ever, ever thought we would ever see it. And Brent's right. This moment was brought to you by Hunter, because Hunter was the reason that Bray was able to come back. Vince retiring was the reason Bray was able to come back at all. Like, if none of the past events of the last, what, 6-8 months had never happened,
mm-hmm.
Bray would still be fired.
And here we are.
And here we are. So thank you, Hunter. Thank you, Taker. Thank you, Bray.
That worked.
That worked. Because, I mean, at least to me, I always kind of wanted to see The Undertaker sort of mentor Bray Wyatt in some way, but this is fine.
And it was also the best use of Undertaker. They heard us, by the way. Our complaints for promo.
They changed the picture. I knew they had a new one.
I know. I have one in our graphic.
It's like, I know there's been new pictures of this man, because you took them for the one-man show. So I know they exist. I've seen them.
We have one.
We have one. So why the hell are you using the old picture? Put a new picture up of him. But yeah, I did.
Because we now got that version tonight.
But I did feel bad for Taker a little bit, because he was doing the American Badass entrance. And I don't know if it's been a hot minute, if Mark Calloway has been ridden a motorcycle that big. I don't know if they were having problems backstage. I just don't know. But the motorcycle got stuck like 2 or 3 times. He was kind of having a hard time with it. And it was honestly the footrests that were on like either side. I think that was part of the problem. If it didn't have the giant ass footrests on the on either side, he probably would have had an easier time of it. Because, like, you could tell he was having a hard time with it because they would, like, cut to the cut when he was coming out and he wasn't there, and they cut back to LA Knight and then they cut to him coming out, and then you'd see the bike come out and it's like the wheel would pop out and then it would kind of roll back a little bit and then the wheel would pop out again, and he was trying to get it to make the turn to come around to make the turn onto the rampway. To basically get around the, you could see it. He was trying to get around the stuff that was, that's in that little room they have back there to get the bike out, because he probably couldn't kick the bike on.
It was a big bike.
It was a big bike. He couldn't probably kick the bike on until he at least got somewhat clear of that little room, because obviously he would fill it with carbon monoxide. So, you know, it is what it is.
Yeah.
But it was good.
Yeah, it was great. Now, for another trip down memory lane, it's time for D-Generation X. So you had Triple H, Shawn Michaels, X-Pac, and the Road Dogg all come down to the ring. They did the whole bit and everything like that. Also, Kurt Angle was there. So Road Dogg does his introductions. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, D-Generation X proudly presents to you the six-time WWE Tag Team Champions of the World, the Road Dogg, Jesse James, the Bad... And then you look over at Kurt Angle playing the role of Daddy Ass Billy Gunn.
The bad boy Kurt Angle.
And Road Dogg asks, what are you doing? And Kurt's like, I always wanted to be in DX. And then awkwardly takes off his shirt and puts on, shows his DX shirt. Hunter then asks, it's time to see if you can pass the test to be in DX. He asks, are you ready? And Kurt asks if that was the test, and Hunter's like, oh, whatever. And then does the rest of the bit. To then be interrupted by Imperium, Gunther, Ludwig, and Giovanni all make their way to the ring. And Gunther is, shame on all you for this, or Kaiser's like, shame on all you for this filth and nonsense. Gunther then talks about them making a mockery of this great sports. He said he was going to kick them out of the out of our ring unless one unless any one of you is going to do something about it. He also called them degenerates, which is fair. So they're all looking around at each other, and then I think X-Pac is the one that gives Hunter the nudge, and Hunter gets face to face with Gunther, and the crowd goes wild, and he's like, "Hey, the cool guy back, I'm retired. I'm done. I'm retired." Someone else do it. And everyone looks over at Shawn Michaels. And the crowd goes crazy for Shawn. And the whole crowd's going, HBK, HBK. And he's like, I'm too old. Xbox like, I guess it's up to me, but I have a bad case of shin splits. And then Road Dogg's like, I'm not fooling anyone. I'm not going to fight him. And then we get the DX huddle, and they say, Kurt's going to fight you. And Kurt's like, nope, not me. Nope, not going to be me. Nope, 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 nope. Hunter's like, you know, they were in a jam and wishes that they could, you know, have someone come out who would want to fight Imperium. Cue Seth Rollins coming down to the ring as they're all singing along to, Seth music, and after the burner down and stops, Shawn continues to sing, and it's like, oh, I thought we were still singing the song, which was clever. And the Xbox going, oh, if there was only a team that could help even the square, because it's three of them and one of him, out came the Street Profits. Triple H said there were three on each side. Wish there were some. Then people that mentioned, they're all looking at him about this booking thing. This booking thing ain't that easy. Which was great. Triple H said there are three on each side and wish someone could come here and make sense of this situation. Out came Teddy Long, holla holla player, making the six-man tag team match between Imperium, taking on Seth Rollins, Angelo Dawkins, and Montez Ford. And then Michael said, well, we need someone to keep this all under control. And they huddled again, and Kurt's like, I have an idea, I have an idea, I have an idea. Takes off his shirt to reveal his red, white, and blue referee shirt, and Triple H's like, I have a great idea. Kurt Angle will be the special guest referee, and if you ain't down with that, we got two words for you to end the segment. All this was fucking great.
This was gold. This was absolute gold. This whole entire segment was gold. Like, I cannot complain about this in the least. Everybody was well done, well used, appropriate. DX was, we just got the right amount of DX silliness in this show.
Right, and DX did not put themselves over on anybody.
Nope.
They did their
partially because they can't.
I mean, Shawn can still super kick someone if he really wanted to. But besides that, they didn't put themselves over on talent. They got Imperium over. They got Dawkins and Ford and Montez over, and Angelo over, leading to a six-man tag. You had Jerry Lawler on commentary. Which is always weird. But in the end, after a really good match, Seth Rollins and the Street Profits pick up the win.
I enjoyed this immensely. I thought this was very, very, very well done. The match was great. It was a good way to showcase, like you said, the Street Profits, Seth, Imperium. Everybody won in this, you know, except for the people who actually lost the match. But everybody won in this. This was perfectly executed.
Mm-hmm. We were scheduled to have a steel cage match between Becky Lynch and Bayley. However, the three women, known as Damage Girl, would attack Becky Lynch before the match, bring her into the cage, and left her laying.
I was a little sad this didn't go, but when you find out that they had some severe timing issues on this show, you understand why. Like, they did this. They gave them a little time, they set it up to go again, but they basically cut this match to allow for everything else that had to happen. Because the opening segment ran long.
Which we'll get to here in a moment. But yeah, everything went long, and they cut some time from the show, and instead of cutting this to a 5-minute cage match, let's do it again another day. You can have their interaction happen at the Royal Rumble, and then you can reset up the cage match for next week or the week after, or whenever you so choose to do. It's just one of the unfortunate things about timing on a live show. Some things have to get cut. We then had Nature Boy Ric Flair come out to introduce his daughter, Charlotte Flair. Don't know what Rick was wearing, but it was something. Charlotte said she started to revolutionize women's wrestling here on Raw. She's evolved from the Diva to being a 14-time women's champion. She mentioned beating Ronda and the Bella Twins, Asuka and Rhea Ripley. Charlotte said because of them, she's able to call us the most dominant or most decorated women's athlete in WWE. She's the SmackDown women's champion, but Raw will always be her home. This brought out Bianca Belair, who said it's her show, and she does everything that she can to make sure it's the greatest show on television. Out came Sonya Deville. She asked if it was really necessary for Charlotte to have her daddy give her a big induction for a show that she's not even won at all. And Deville mentioned she was also the Raw General Manager for a year. I didn't know they were called the Raw General Manager when she was, but hey, here we are. Flair said she owes Deville for the cheap shot she gave her, but since this is Bianca's show, you handle it, champ. Bianca's like, all right, fine. It'd be my pleasure. So Bianca would end up beating Sonya Deville.
This is a good little match, a good little segment. I have no idea what Rick was wearing, but please, please, please don't wear it again. Just asking that for the sake of sanity. Because honestly, it was not good. It was like this chartreuse in black suit, floral suit, and I'm not questioning that at all. No. Mm-hmm. It was just a no.
So for the record, going back to the Bianca match, or no, the Becky Bayley match, the beatdown was always scheduled, but it was supposed to be after the match.
Yeah.
Just so everyone's aware. Speaking of sanity, Bianca said Bliss could bring Uncle Halle, Bray Wyatt, or the Playhouse Funhouse, whatever it is, she'll still be the Raw Women's Champion. Alexa appeared on screen, said she would be told her don't worry about anyone else, that she is her only obstacle. She would spare Bianca, she's going to take down Bianca and spare her eyes so she could watch her walk out as Raw Women's Champion. Good little promo.
Good little promo. Very, very... It's interesting we did not see Alexa that much tonight.
No. They had a lot to do, and they've peaked with the angle, so here we are. So let's go to the start of Monday Night Raw. It opened up with Roman Reigns and the Bloodline coming down to the ring for not the appreciation acknowledgement ceremony that was originally scheduled. Oh no. It is the trial of Sami Zayn. Roman Reigns has the crowd in Philadelphia to acknowledge him and then hands it over to Paul Heyman, who got a loud ECW chant. Heyman then acknowledged the chant because those three letters that are very near and dear to him, but he said, ECW is dead and he wishes the same for Sami Zayn. He called Sami Zayn a betrayer who has been with Kevin Owens since day number one. Heyman then accuses Sami Zayn of leading them on and making them feel good about themselves. He then mentioned how the Eagles fans are feeling good for themselves, but they will soon be conquered by Brock Purdy of the 49ers, which the fans were not happy about. And then Paul Heyman had four pieces of evidence to show why Sami Zayn was guilty as charged. Nice ECW reference. He showed Drew McIntyre attacking the Usos in August while Sami Zayn ran away like a gutless coward. We had then him hesitating to hand Roman Jay a chair. We then had the War Games and Sami was celebrating him for himself. he was doing a Four Life thing, saying, were they the NWO, the Four Horsemen, or the Dangerous Alliance? Nice shot at himself. And then, you know, called the then accused Sammy of stealing, signaling Kevin Owens, Montreal for life. And then he pointed out December of Sami Zayn bumping into Roman Reigns and during a promo. He said he was at least guilty of assault on the tribal chief, if nothing else. He said Paul Heyman then asked the jury to find this rat bastard of guilty as charged. Heyman drops the mic. Sami Zayn picks it up. Sami's like, he had a whole defense all lined up and laid out in his head, but he didn't know he would feel, what do you feel when he came out? He said after listening to Paul Heyman say all that, it hurt so much. Sami asked Heyman if he really thought he was conspiring with Kevin. Sami said the fact that Heyman would actually think that really hurt, and he said the people see it. It hurt that they put him through on trial and made him defend himself. My defense is that I have no defense. And he sat down in his seat. Roman had enough. He goes, Roman asks if Zayn had so much ego that he wasn't willing to either fight or argue. He goes, enough.
Solo.
Solo gets up next to Sami Zayn, raises the spike. He's about to lay it in until Jey Uso stands up, and he means no disrespect. He put together his own footage, and we see moments of Sami Zayn taking bullet after bullet after bullet for the bloodline. Jey recalls despising Sami Zayn and then stuck with him like family. Jey said he loves Sami Zayn like a brother. He said that if you want Sami Zayn in the bloodline, throw the ones in the sky. Jimmy would join Jey. Everyone in the crowd's holding up the ones. We had a Sami Uso chant. Roman goes, as your tribal chief and head of the table, I find you, Sami Zayn, not guilty. For now. Roman told Sami to look at Jey and thank him for buying him more time. Reigns told Zayn to finish out the night and make the bloodline proud, but then he doesn't want to see him again until this Saturday at the Royal Rumble, where he'll have his final test. And then we're going to see if Sami Zayn really is the bloodline or not. Jey put his lay on Sami. They all hugged. Sami Zayn is over.
This was such phenomenal television.
30 minutes of great television.
The character development of Jey defending Sami, of saving Sami, of going against Roman, and saving Sami, that first little spark of defiance, true defiance, that we see from Jey to Roman. They've been kind of sort of been like dancing around each other with this whole Sami thing, and it kind of settled out. And now Jay's like, no, he's cool. I know he's cool. And Jey saves him. Like, just that character development right there was beautiful. It was absolutely beautiful. Sami sold it like a champ. Roman sold it like a champ. Paul Heyman was phenomenal. Like, it was just all so good. I know it ran long. Like, I know it did. But it was so damn good. It's worth it.
Mm-hmm. Everything about this was perfect. It then led to the Usos defending the Raw tag team titles against the Judgment Day's Dominic Mysterio and Damian Priest, with Rhea and Finn at ringside. Finn would get tossed at one point during the match. And then at another point, Jimmy Uso performs a dive over the top rope and is hurting. Clutches his knee. We throw up the X. Trainers come out and help Jimmy Uso up. Quickly, by the way. Adam Pearce runs out and said the protocol dictates that Usos must forfeit the match and the tag team titles if Jimmy couldn't continue. Sammy's like, well, what if I fill in for Jey? Or for Jimmy. What if I fill in for him? And the crowd's going crazy. Pierce said he did it for Judgment Day. He'll do it for Raw 30. Sami Zayn, Sami Uso, you're in the match. So Sami Zayn finishes off the match. They're a great bunch of near falls. But in the end, Sami and Jey hit the 1D on Dom. And the Usos are still the Raw Tag Team Champions.
We can't discount Finn's part in this and Rhea's part in this.
Oh, Rhea.
They were both tremendously
great.
Awesome.
Rhea was fantastic. Rhea getting face-to-face with Jey.
God, let her fight them all.
She's
just
looking for it.
Let her fight them all.
She wants it.
We all want it. Just let her do it.
Yeah, they all played their parts really, really well. Sold everything. Made the near falls perfect. Yeah, it was great. So we had a theme throughout the night. It was a poker game. Going back to a few weeks ago on Raw where there was a poker game. There's a new poker game at a brand new establishment. So JBL and Baron Corbin walk up to the door. They find the Godfather. JBL and Godfather hug. And they ask, who's this guy? And they're making fun of Baron Corbin. He's not on the list. JBL wants to speak to the owner of the establishment. Knock on the door. Guess what door it is? The APA door. Ron Simmons comes out, they hug and wonder who this is, and then basically they bribe their way to get on the list. So they walk into the club, the door. It's a big-ass poker room with all the WWE superstars and some legends back there. We had the Garganos and Loomis, the club. They were all there. Throughout the night, we got different segments of, you know, playing poker, like, because that's what you do. You had Medusa try to outdo Diamond Dallas Page, but Diamond Dallas Page got one up on her. And just throughout the night, a couple different segments. And then the closing segment was Baron Corbin winning all the money, beating out the Million Dollar Man. He starts picking up his winnings and then walks in IRS. IRS grabs all the money because you always got to pay your taxes. Corbin's like, what about me? And he gets a $100 bill. Then Ron Simmons walks back in the frame and goes, damn. Good use of everybody.
I love this so much. Like, I shouldn't have, but I did. Like, I really did love this. This was, again, this is another really perfect use where you can have a lot of cameos. You can have a lot of people backstage. We had, like, Dexter and Candace and Johnny in the background at one point where Dexter's got his axe. Johnny's eating popcorn and he offers some to Dexter. You know, we had Medusa playing cards. We had, you know, JBL with Ron Simmons and Baron Corbin. The IRS cameo. There was DDP there at one point.
Yeah, he bested Medusa with a straight flush.
Like, all of this was just really, really, really good. It was, again, it's the way to get the legends in there without like, really kind of forcing it down your throat. Because they're just there. And they're just in the background. And you just see people and are like, oh my god, there's this person, and this person. It's like, that's my favorite kind of way that they do this. Where they're just present. They're not there. We're not giving everybody their own individual segment. Which, some people do deserve their own segment. I will absolutely acknowledge that. But, like, just to have people there and present was wonderful. But my favorite was the IRS. Where you just have IRS show up right after DiBiase, and he's like, I'm just going to take your money now, bye.
That was a cool moment, really was. So, one person we have not seen is The Miz, and he comes out to the ring. He goes, where's his championship match? Where's his celebration for all his Raw moments? He deserves his Raw Triple X moment. Kevin Owens comes to the ring, drops him with a stunner, picks up the microphone, and addresses Roman Reigns. Said that Sammy is not guilty, but Reigns is guilty of holding the WWE Universal title hostage for over 2 years. Owens gives his word that to everyone in the building, everyone watching home, that he would do everything he could to take and give everyone a champion they can be proud of. Owens said he would just keep fighting until he has nothing left, and he vows to take the title from Roman Reigns, or he will die trying. Miz gets back up, gets dropped with another stunner. Good little use of Kevin to get over the match on Saturday.
An issue was when Kevin said that I'll give you a champion that you can be proud of. I know what he was trying to do, that basically Roman has, you know, taken over the title. He's holding it hostage. He's being a dick. But it cheapens a little bit the accomplishment that Roman has, whether we like it or not, which is the fact that he has been champion for 2 years. Over 2 years, I think, at this point. Like, he has never been bested once. I don't think he's been pinned. And
the last person to pin him was before he won the championship, which was Baron Corbin. The last person to beat him in a singles match was Xavier Woods, and that was via disqualification. And the last actual loss he's had was the tag match featuring John Cena and Kevin Owens against Sammy and Roman.
And Sammy ate the pin.
Mm-hmm.
So, you can't say that Roman Reigns is not a champion that people can be proud of, because even though he's playing an asshole, he really is a champion that WWE and everybody can be proud of, because he's been champion for 2 years. He's taken on all comers. He's beaten everybody, literally everybody, to the point that they're trying to struggle to find opponents for him. And has they always been clean? No, they haven't always been clean, but he has beaten everybody, and that's all that really matters in the record books. It's not how he got there. It's that he got there, that he's held on to the title for that long. I mean, the promo from Kevin was really, really, really good. Really enjoyed it, but I had a problem with that one little minor detail where he's like, I'm going to give you a champion that, you know, you can be proud of. It's like, well, but, I mean, whether we like it or not, I feel like a lot of people are proud of Roman, just for all that he has achieved and accomplished as champion, which is actually quite a lot.
Them going to the, well, he's held the hostage situate title, and he's never here. Well, that's their own fault. Beat him.
Why should he be there?
No, I'm with it. It's just a bad creative clutch to go that point.
Yeah, it is. But it's like, he has no reason. He has no reason to be there. Like, that's the whole point of it, is that why should he be there?
Mm-hmm.
You know? Like, who's he going to fight? What's he going to do? Is he just going to sit backstage in catering?
Yeah, there's no point. Until you find someone to beat him, he doesn't need to be there.
So I mean, it's again, it's kind of one of those things where you're like, eh.
It's a bad creative idea to do that, but we'll see what they do. Your main event was Austin Theory, Bobby Lashley, no DQ for the United States Championship. Pretty good match between the two. It was a little bit rushed because it's the end of the show and we're running long. And, so Lashley puts Austin Theory through a table, and then Brock Lesnar's music hits. He quickly walks down to the ring, drops Lashley with an F5, drops Theory with an F5 on top of Lashley for the 1-2-3. Corey Graves is yelling as they go off the air. They ran out of time. But, you know, that's good use of... Go ahead.
We were sitting here watching the match, and it's like, this is not going to end clean. There's no way this is going to end clean. There's a no DQ, so it's not going to end clean. There's no way, so who's interfering? Who do they have left? Who could they have left? And, well, sure enough, they had somebody left.
His name was Brock Lesnar.
And, yeah, that is the fastest I've seen Brock move in quite some time.
They had to get in and out, and Corey Graves couldn't close out the show quick enough.
They tried super hard.
He was still yelling as they were going off the air. That's what happens in a three-hour live show when you're running long. You gotta get everything in.
Sorry. It's unusual for them to have timing issues like this. So you have to attribute it to the fact that you just had people that were doing their own thing and taking their own time, and... it doesn't matter if something else gets cut because of me, because reasons that I'm not accusing of anybody of anything, but, you know, that's probably some of the mentalities that are going on.
Also, because the first hour was commercial free, they had
more to fill.
It wasn't even that. It was, there's no, like, time cuts. Like, you're not restricted of, oh, the first segment has to be done in 15 minutes. That's why I went 30. Time can be stretched. And then, so you're always playing catch up. And while everything was pretty timed out on the show, you probably lost a minute or two by the end where you had to catch up on commercial breaks and everything like that, because they did. They did a very late commercial break at the end, which was picture in picture, just to catch up on between the DX stuff, the Bloodline stuff, and everything else that happened on the show where everything, crowd reacts and stuff, whatever, things were drawn out. And that happens. It's raw. It's live. Anything can happen. I don't think there's anybody mad.
Oh, not at all.
Everyone got their... The only thing people have mad are Becky and Bayley, and I think they're pretty fine with how things went. They still did their angle, and they can finish it out from at some point. It's fine. We'll make the Rumble this Saturday more exciting. This was a good, really good, even great episode overall in terms of using all the nostalgia acts and everything like that to really make it feel like, okay, this is a big to-do event. This was a... Bravo, Hunter and crew.
Yeah, this was well booked. Timing was fishy, but this was well booked.
And they always have time. Everyone has timing issues. But yeah, it was creatively enjoyable. Especially with a nice mix of legends and stuff. And I know there weren't a lot of female legends.
There's a
30 women Royal Rumble this Saturday on Peacock and the WWE Network. I think they're fine.
It's all good. Trust me, it's all good. But yeah. If they have to use legends, if they want to use legends, if they want to lean on nostalgia, this is how I like to see it done. I like it to have a point and a purpose and not be thrown in my face, and it's enjoyable. So well done, Hunter and Crew, as you said, for a fantastic show. But we're done!
We are done. Live this Thursday is the right.
That's right. Tune in. We'll have news, notes. Not NXT. I've already screamed about Bray Wyatt this week, so we don't have to worry about that. And we will be talking Royal Rumble. We will be making our picks for the Royal Rumble. I will be screaming about how I got cheated out of number 30 in the Pick'em contest, despite calling dibs on it multiple times, and Rock acknowledging that I called dibs on it multiple times. But, you know...
No dibs.
Tim got his.
Tim luckily got his.
Then he needs to go buy a lotto ticket.
Because that graphic was made up, like, hours beforehand.
But anyway, tune in. We'll be talking about the Royal Rumble. So it's Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, right here on WallTalkRadio.com.
Saturday night, 11:30, will be the Rock Extra Reviews, the Royal Rumble, which means no CB Radio, which means no Fortnite with Friends. We'll talk the Royal Rumble once it ends live. Me and Lindsay will go talk all about it, give our thoughts, reactions, and everything like that, because it's going to be the Royal Rumble, one of the best shows of the year, and I like to talk about it, so we're talking about it live. This Saturday, 11:30 p.m. Eastern, we'll have, I'm thinking, other content this week as well, so just stay tuned to the Twitters. We'll plug in a second. But Sunday night is WTR Sunday, Russell Talk Radio. They'll review the Royal Rumble as well. We'll be back next Monday for a Raw Post Show, 11 p.m. Eastern. Thinking content on Wednesday. Chat, tune in, turn notifications on, all that stuff. We're going to figure it out. Anyway, it's at Wild Talk Radio on Twitter, Facebook.com, says Wild Talk Radio Network. If you have that Amazon Prime link to your Twitch account, it's called Prime Gaming. Support the channel by clicking that purple rectangle button below the screen. You can use creator code Rockasock or
Linz M. Ward
in the Fortnite item shop or Epic Game Store. Why?
Because we are hashtag Epic Partners. You can follow me on most of the social medias at Linz Ward, LNSWD. You can check out my Twitch channel, twitch.tv/LinzWard, where I am streaming Genshin Impact. So if you are interested in the Genshins, you can come hang out. My schedule is on my Twitch page if you'd like to see it. You can also check out my YouTube channel, youtube.com/@LinzWard or linzward.rockradioshow.com or just the word Linz Ward on the YouTubes. I have reaction videos that I have posted up that are brand new, so please go watch them, check them out, like, subscribe, ring the bell, do all the things. Because reasons. That's it.
Okay, anyway, that's the Raw Post Show presented as always by MBG Films, youtube.com/MBG1211. We'll see you Thursday night for the rack. And all week long, along the airwaves of the Wild Talk Radio Network, streaming live right here at twitch.tv/WTRLive.
WildTalkRadio.com.